brings us to the lesson. This topic that we're studying tonight is another one of those things that many consider to be outdated. A lot of people consider this to be, oh, that was just something that was useful back in the old times, and we don't need to worry about that anymore today. It's not a big problem. We're talking about hospitality to strangers. Now, when was the last time you showed hospitality to a stranger? Now, I'm not talking about that relative from out of town who dropped in unexpectedly. I'm talking about a real stranger. That's just not something we do. We have, nowadays, we have hotels and motels and inns up and down, even in our little town of 2,000, there are two motels in this town. And so, a lot of times we don't think about hospitality towards strangers. If you want to look to Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 28, now sometimes we just decide to pick and choose which things we continue and which things we don't continue any longer. And we just say, well, that was for back then when the Bible was written, and we don't need to do that anymore today. But we've got to watch out for that kind of an attitude. Because when we start having the attitude, well, that was for them back then we start to have that attitude about just about anything. We see people nowadays, they say the same thing about homosexuality. Well, back then, they didn't like that back then, but now that we accept it, it's okay. They say that about instrumental music. Well, maybe they didn't in the first century. We know they didn't have it for a while, but that was back then, and now we do, and that's okay. And you can go on down the list of things that people have decided that what the Bible said about something was just for back then, and it doesn't apply anymore. So we've got to watch out for that kind of an attitude. Beginning in verse 28, the Hebrew writer says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue, and be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." They mentioned a few things here, and so that we see that we're not just pulling one thing out of the middle of a place that doesn't belong. He says, let brotherly love continue. So the relationship we have with one another, that needs to continue on. We need to keep showing love for each other. Then he also says, don't forget, you need to take care of the strangers. You need to entertain strangers. And that doesn't mean that we put on a show out here on the street corner for all the people driving up and down the highway. It's not that kind of an entertaining. It means we take care of them when they have a need. We watch out for them. We invite them in. In fact, the word hospitality comes from the Greek word philoxenia, which basically means to love the stranger. As with a lot of the things that the New Testament commands, We've kind of passed on this one. You know, just like the caring for the widows and the orphans, we say, well, let the state orphanages take care of the orphans. And let the government social security system take care of the widows. And so we just kind of say, well, see, since they're taking care of it now, I don't have to. I don't have any responsibility there anymore. But I have a feeling that many are going to be very surprised when they find out that they weren't practicing pure and undefiled religion before God because they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing to provide for and care for those in need. Here we see again, he tells us, don't forget to entertain strangers. Notice what he says, for in so doing, some have entertained angels unaware. Probably he's talking about Abraham specifically, and there may have been others as well. But Abraham, we know, he saw the strangers walking down the road. He went out to meet them and he said, come rest under my shade tree. Let me fix you something to eat. Let me get you something to drink. And lo and behold, those three strangers that he had invited to sit under the shade of his tree with him was the Lord and two of his angels going to see the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Were they testing Abraham? Quite possibly. Does God test us sometimes in that way today? Quite possibly. The Hebrew writer says, don't forget to entertain strangers because you don't know but what God has sent those strangers to you. I recall the story as told of a woman who had a dream that Jesus was, in her dream, saying to her that he was going to come visit her the next day. And oh, so she woke up the next morning remembering this dream. She said, oh, the Lord is coming to visit me today. I am so excited. And so she got busy cleaning house. And she got busy working on preparing a meal. And she was busy, busy, busy. And as she was busily working there, getting the house ready for the Lord's visit, a knock came at the door. And she went to the door and answered. And it was just a little fella that was hungry. Little child, and he was hungry. He didn't have anything to eat. And so she said, go away. I don't have time for you. I'm expecting a very important guest. I don't have time for you. Sent him away. Went back to getting ready. A little while later, somebody else at the door. She goes to the door. A fella, he's been out working hard. He's thirsty. He just wants a drink of water. She said, I don't have time for that. Go away, not now. I'm busy getting ready for an important guest. And so he left. And so a little while later, she's still getting ready. But it's getting later in the day, and she's about got everything ready, and the meal's cooking, and it's all, and she's thinking, where is he? And, oh, that must be him. So she goes to the door, and lo and behold, no, it's someone who's out in the cold of the evening, without any shoes on, with garments that are thin and worn, and oh, could we just have something warm? Even something you were going to throw away. Just something warm to put on. I'm busy. I'm expecting an important guest. Go. And she rushes him out the door. That night she goes to bed and she has another dream. And in her dream the Lord appears to her again. And she says to the Lord, Lord, in the dream last night you said you were coming to visit me today. And I have waited for you all day. I had the house ready. I had a meal prepared. I was waiting for you and all day, and you didn't come. And the Lord said to her, I came to you three times, and each time you sent me away. We don't know when we might have the opportunity to see Jesus in another. You remember Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says that on the last day, the judgment day, those on the right and the left, the sheep and the goats, and to each group he basically says the same thing, that you saw me naked and hungry and in prison and sick. And to the one group he said you did what you should have and took care of me, and the other group he said you didn't. But both groups says, Lord, when did we see you that way? And he said, as you did it, or as you didn't do it, to the least of these my brethren, it was me. You did that to me. When you didn't, or did, do it to those others, it was me. We need to understand that this is not optional. This is not something that passed away hundreds of years ago. This is still a command to us today, just as much as it was to them back then. Well, what about hospitality? You know, some of these cases of hospitality were rewarded openly. And they got their reward immediately. Look at Rahab. She took in the spies, and she was rewarded with her life and the lives of her family because of her willingness to take in what to her was strangers, even enemies. They had come to spy out the land, and she took them in. But sometimes the reward didn't come right away. Of course, it was certainly a greater need at that time when people did wander long distances and there weren't the public hotels and inns and things of that type that we have today. And a lot of times, we're not necessarily even asked to provide any hospitality to strangers. But we need to be prepared for when that happens, even if it may be a rare thing. I'll tell you, living on the highway right next door to a church building will increase your opportunities, I can tell you that much. A lot more people come to my house and knock on the door, I'm sure, than come to yours, or wherever you live. But the fact of the matter is, there's a reason they do that. Well, two reasons. One is they like to take advantage of people. But the second is that sometimes when somebody's really in need, and they see a church building, they think, that's where I can go and get some help. Well, why do they think that? Because they know, even if they don't know much at all about the Bible, they know the Bible teaches Christians to help others. And so they'll knock on my door, knowing with my house right next to the building that I'm the preacher. But, you know, there are limits, of course. I offer hospitality. But I do have limits. Had a fellow the other day that knocked on the door and started telling me his plight. I offered for him to come in and take a shower and have a bed to sleep on, to wash his clothes for him, to give him a hot meal. And he didn't want any of that. He wanted me to buy him a hotel room. Well, there are limits. I told him right quick, I can't afford to buy myself a hotel room. I'm not going to buy you one when there's a perfectly good bed, perfectly good shower and bathroom, perfectly good washing machine, and perfectly good food right here in my house. Well, I was glad after he refused my offer of hospitality to drive him somewhere else and let him try his luck with somebody else. There is a level of hospitality to which we can be expected to go, but there is a limit that is to be expected as well. Well, hospitality. Let's look at it quickly. H, helpfulness. What about Gaius in 3 John 1:4-8? John says to Gaius, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Sometimes these strangers may be fellow Christians that we just don't know. We've had lots of times where we had strangers who were fellow Christians come. Remember that a few years ago we had a campaign by what was at that time IBC, and they brought several of the students down. We didn't know those folks, but we took them in and fed them all week, and they helped in the work of the church, knocking doors and things of that nature. We oftentimes may have someone in for a gospel meeting or something of that nature. May have someone just traveling through that's a member of the church and needs a place to stop. Something of that nature. Well, we need to be there for them. That's one of the parts of being brothers and sisters in Christ, even if we're strangers. We're still family. Oh, it's for obedience. 1 Peter 4:8-10 says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Be hospitable. That, when the Bible states something as plainly as that, we call that a command. He doesn't say, well, if you want to, you can try hospitality. He simply states, be hospitable. It's not a choice. It's not an opportunity to decide whether we want to or not. Instead, it's a command. So following this practice of hospitality involves our obedience to the commands of God. What about sympathy? You know, sometimes hospitality carries with it some sympathy. Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Jesus said to those, to him who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, don't ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So Jesus says, you know, sometimes our sympathy, our compassion for others, ought to make us want to just help somebody who needs it. Ought to just want us to give somebody a bowl of soup on a cold day. Ought to make us just want to give somebody a sandwich who's out there working and doesn't have one. That's compassion. That's sympathy. That's the kind of, and we know that person will never be able to repay us for that. But that's part of being a Christian, helping others. Which is Galatians 6:8, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Well, isn't giving somebody a meal, isn't that good? You bet it is. Here Jesus even says, if you have a dinner, invite the people who don't usually get invited. You know, we always invite our family to dinner. Oh, yeah, let's have our family. I heard one story recently about a preacher who had taken it on himself to kind of take in this fellow that came and visited at their congregation. He didn't know the fellow, but he came and visited. He was so shabby, but he came and he visited, and so he said, yeah, would you like to come eat at my house? And didn't even say anything. Yeah. But started a relationship there and began to study with that fellow, began to have an opportunity to find out more about that fellow, baptized him, and even was able to be with him for several months there before the fellow wound up dying from a seizure, I believe. But he was able to have a relationship with this individual. He was able to make an impact on his life. Someone who was an outcast from the rest of society. Someone who didn't fit in. But so many times, we spend so much time judging others based on their outward appearance that we forget that underneath all of that and inside that skin is a soul that's made in the image of God. We need to think about that. So the S is for sympathy. The T is for perception. And this again has to do with the way we see things, the way we view things. Luke 16:19-25, we read the rich man and Lazarus. You know, Lazarus didn't want the best. Lazarus would have just liked to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, verse 21 tells us. But he didn't get any of them. Can you imagine that? That you would be so selfish that you would not even give someone the scraps that you were going to throw to the dog. So selfish that you wouldn't even give somebody the crumbs that fell on the floor that you were just going to sweep up and throw in the trash. That's the situation with this rich man. Of course, when the rich man awoke and found himself in torment, He begged for things to be different. But Abraham said, remember that in your lifetime, you received your good things, and Lazarus received evil things. Now he's comforted, and you're tormented. Don't be like that rich man. Don't be tormented for eternity because of greed and selfishness. Be compassionate, be generous, and be giving, sharing. And of course, the letter I speaks of its importance. Hebrews 13, 1 through 3, again says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly, unknowingly, without knowing it, they've entertained angels. How many of us would love to have an angel come visit? Well, the Bible says some people did that, got to have that opportunity because some strangers were entertained. I don't know what angels do today. I know the Bible tells us that they are ministers to the saints. I don't know how they minister. I know that they're fighting spiritual battles with Satan and his forces, and I know we don't see all of those things. But does God use his angels to test us from time to time? It's possible. He certainly has in the past. I can't rule it out from anything I see in Scripture. But if he does, how would we respond? Would we pass or fail that test? T is for tenderness. Romans 12, 9 through 21 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another. But he goes on to say that we should, in verse 13, be given to hospitality. In other words, we shouldn't have to think about it. It should just be our first impulse. We're given to it. It's a natural reaction for us to just practice hospitality. That's the way it ought to be. And even toward our enemies. Verse 20 says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. Even your enemy? You mean even somebody? Even if one of those terrorists came? Yeah. Even if one of those terrorists came. Well, what if somebody broke in my house to rob me? I'd give him a drink of water. But would you treat your enemy that way? We don't even think about that. But let's think for just a minute about why we would react that way. The Bible tells us we love God because He first loved us. It also tells us that God is love, and that if we are His children, we must love because He is love. We can't be His children if we don't love. But let's think about God for a minute. And let's think about us. For some, this may hit closer to home than others. But imagine, and some of you may not even have to imagine, someone killed your child, murdered them, murdered your child. Would you welcome that individual into your house? Adopt them as part of your family? Take them in? You say, how could we? After what they had done. But do you realize that's what God did for us? We're guilty of the death of His Son. And how did He react to that? He offered to adopt us into His family and take us home to live with Him forever. You see, God doesn't ask anything of us that He isn't willing to do Himself. Now, I can't imagine how hard that would be myself. But that's what God did. That's what God did for us. So tenderness key. The A is active. We must be active. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. We see that there that says, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you." Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. But you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through patience, faith and patience inherit the promises. It's a labor. It's something we need to not become sluggish about being hospitable and about sharing with others and caring for others. And then the letter L for loving. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 1, Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." So he tells us that this can't just be an act. We can't just be hospitable to make a name for ourselves or to make a show for others. It must be out of love or it profits nothing. And of course, how impressive is it? We recall the passage in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, where Jesus determines our eternal destination based on, in this passage, our hospitality. Did we care for others? "I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." You know what's not listed in there? Doesn't say anything about you were baptized in my name. Doesn't say anything about you didn't use instrumental music when you worshiped me. Doesn't say anything about you took the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week. Doesn't say anything about you have the right doctrine about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Now, does that mean those other things aren't important? No, that's not what it means. Those things are important. Anything that the Bible teaches us is important. But Jesus says, if you've got all the form right, but you don't have the heart, and see, the heart shows itself in these kinds of actions, the caring, the loving. That's what shows our true Christian spirit and our attitude. So you can have all the right teachings and all the right things and still be dead wrong because you've got the wrong attitudes. That's impressive. And hospitality makes an impression on God. And then, of course, the T is thoughtful. Luke 10, verses 33 to 37. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? And we try to justify ourselves when we pass somebody that's broken down on the side of the road. We say, well, the policeman will be along shortly and check on them, surely. Or we'll say, you know, they've probably got a cell phone and they've already called for help. Or we'll say, that's a dangerous situation. That's our favorite. That's dangerous. I could get hurt. You think that Samaritan couldn't have gotten hurt? Don't you think that one of the favorite things that robbers would do would be put somebody beaten on the side of the road and then wait to see who stopped as a trap for someone? Sure. They did it all the time. But he took the risk. And he was thoughtful. And he even thought to take care of the man after he had done all he could do. When he departed the inn, he gave the innkeeper 2 denarii. That's 2 days' wages. So to us, that would be somewhere anywhere $50 to $100 or more that he gave the man in our money today. And he said, you take care of it, and if you spend more than that, when I come back, I'll repay you. That's thoughtful. But he thought of the other man above himself, because he took quite a risk. That's our best. I've heard about somebody could get hurt doing that. Wouldn't it be better to die doing something good than to live doing something we shouldn't? Just a thought for us to be thoughtful about. And of course, it involves us yielding our will to God's will. Job, in Job 31, verses 31 and 32 says, if the men of my tent have not sinned, who is there that has not been satisfied with his meat? But no sojourner had to lodge in the street, for I have opened my doors to the traveler. Job says, I've been good. I've been hospitable. Nobody ever had to stay in the street in my town because I let them in the house. And we know Job was righteous, upright, fearing God. The soldier called his mother from San Francisco Bay, said, Mother, I'll be coming home. Please hear me what I say. I want to bring a buddy, please, Mom, if you don't mind. He has one arm, one leg, one eye, and he needs your love so kind. The mother told her soldier with a harsh and bitter tone, No, don't bring your buddy here. Find him another home. We just don't have a place for him, and if it's how you say, we sure don't need a handicap to be here in the way. Then later came a telegram. The soldier boy was dead. He took his life. They found a note, and here is what it said. No, don't bring your buddy here. His mother's words were they. We sure don't need a handicap to be here in the way. At last, the wheels stopped turning as the mother met the train. She came to get her only son with tears that fell like rain. She stared into the cold steel box to kiss her boy goodbye. And there he was, a handicap. One leg, one arm, one eye. That mother had been willing to show some hospitality. But her son found out how she would have really felt about having him. She would have felt like he was a burden to her. Not that it was a joy to be able to help someone who had a need, but that he'd be a burden. And sadly, he decided not to be that burden to her. Perhaps our opportunities to be hospitable won't be as dramatic as that one. But what impact will we have? Will we take the opportunities we have to help others? Or will we refuse and miss out on an opportunity to see Jesus? As you've done unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. How would we treat Jesus if he was standing at our door? Oh, well, we'd let him in and we'd shower him with all the love we could and the best we had. Would we really? Remember, Jesus was homeless, only had the clothes on his back. There was nothing attractive physically about him. Isaiah tells us there is nothing about him that we should desire him. There's nothing lovely
that we should desire. He wasn't one of the beautiful people.
How would we really treat him? He finds out when he sends those strangers to us, when he sends those in need. Sometimes, of course, the help that someone asks for is beyond our ability. And we understand that that happens. When, you know, there are times where we just can't help. God understands that as well. But when we can, do we? If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you have not been hospitable as you should. Whatever you need, we ask that you respond as we stand and as we sing.